Shalom and welcome back. Today we are going to focus on the big question. Should we be asking for Mashiach? Is this a new idea? Something fresh? Or is it actually ancient? The zechut of this Torah study is dedicated for the refuah shleima, the complete healing, and a long and healthy life for a young woman who I had the privilege of teaching Torah to many, many years ago. Her name is Henya Bas Brocha Dvoraleah. May Hashem have rachmanus on her and restore to her family. And may she know of only goodness for the length of her days. Amen. Asking for Mashiach. Was this something that the Lubavitcher Rebbe promulgated? Is it rooted in Torah true, authentic Jewish tradition? It's a fair question. The answer is actually quite surprising. For some of you, maybe even shocking. So what if I tell you that this idea that we have to ask for Mashiach stretches back to the early biblical era, to the days of David HaMelech, King David himself, that as our sages elucidated these verses of the Torah, we are actually influencing and inspiring our daily prayers and halachic mandate and obligation. Let's begin by taking a look at the Medrash Tilim. This is the Buber edition. It's commentary on the 17th Psalm. Near the end of the fourth paragraph, we hear the following. Toni Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the famous author of the Zohar, the Tana, Rabbi Shimon, he learned or taught. Kol otan alafim shenaflu bimlchama b'yemei David, the thousands of young people who tragically fell in battle in the days of King David, lo naflu elo al shalotovu binyan beit hamikdash. They shouldn't have fallen. There should have been a divine shield. They were missing something. It doesn't mean it's why they died. What the Medrash is telling us is, had they experienced their spiritual potential in its fullness, that they would have merited another layer of protection, that they could have gone on to live longer lives. They're failing. They didn't demand the building of Beis HaMikdash, God's holy home. Now, to be sure, there was a Beit HaMikdash of sorts. It had been in Shiloh for 369 years. It was destroyed. God's presence dwelt amongst the Jewish people, but the concept of God's sanctuary during the days of King Saul, during the days of David HaMelech, wasn't realized. The people were complacent. They were living in Israel. They had a king. They were establishing a monarchy, a commonwealth, a national enterprise of great success after centuries of rises and rests. Less than successful building, nation building, Am Yisrael is finally establishing itself in the fullest sense. And they were complacent. They didn't ask Hashem for a Beis HaMikdash. They said, when God wants to have a Beit HaMikdash, he'll decide it's time. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught that this was a terrible failing. And then, speaking from a lesson learned from the days of King David, the great Rashbi speaks to the people of his time, the people who had experienced the devastating destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and were now supposed to be not only anticipating, but yearning for the coming of Mashiach. V'haloi dvarim kal v'chomer. How much more so? It's what you would call a logical argument. Uma im elu, shelehoya Beit HaMikdash b'neim. We speak about a generation that never saw Jerusalem rise in its glory. They didn't have a Beit HaMikdash in their days. Velo nechrav b'yameihem, and the Beit HaMikdash was not destroyed in their time. Nasa lohem kach, and yet, this is what happened. V'nanshu, and they were actually punished. It was a terrible consequence. Al shalei tovu, I say, because they didn't ask for, or more accurately, demand, plead that Hashem give them the privilege of a Beit HaMikdash. Said Rabbi Shimon, onu shechorav b'yameinu. Us, we, who have seen the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the ein onu mit'ablum alav, and we don't feel a mournful sense, a sense of yearning, a sense of urgency, v'lo nevakesh alav rachamim, and we aren't asking Hashem, pleading with God for mercy. Al achat kama v'kama. You know, our rabbis teach us, mi shelo nivne Beit HaMikdash b'yomav, ki ilu nechrav b'yomav. If the Beit HaMikdash is chas v'shalom not rebuilt in our days, it's as if it's been destroyed in our days. And as the Rebbe once said with great emotion, imagine if we would see the Beit HaMikdash being destroyed. The Rebbe said you could have a person who is cold and indifferent as stone, but seeing the Beit HaMikdash burning, said the Rebbe, he would turn the world upside down. And with great emotion, the Rebbe said, so ker avel taint. Then don't be complacent. Do something. Do something positive. Do what you can to accelerate and hasten the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash today. And here the Medrash Tilim tells us something quite fascinating. Our sages weren't going to rely on you and I taking the initiative. Lefichoch hitkinu chasidim harishonim. The early pious ones established or instituted sheyiyu mitpalim shalosh tfilot b'chol yom, that we should pray, they ordained, thrice daily. And in those prayers, we ask Hashem, Hoshev Shechinascha L'Tzion, restore your presence to Tzion. That's the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. We ask that Seder HaAvodah, that our ability to serve God as is ordained in the Torah, be restored to us. V'tiknu b'nei Yerushalayim, they establish the blessing that we ask Hashem three times every single day for the rebuilding, not pavement or cobblestones, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, the municipality that will house the presence of Hashem. The city that has the Beis HaMikdash at its center. And these are not conjoined, but rather in a bracha b'fnei atzma b'tfila. The Medrash says, we also have this responsibility, this mandate in Birchat HaMazon, when we fulfill the biblical mitzvah of thanking God for the food from which we have eaten. It's fascinating to note that in the Tur, and later in the Shulchan Aruch, there is emphasis on the kind of verbiage we must use when we ask Hashem for restoration of former glory in our Birchat HaMazon. In Siman Kuf Peches and Ur Chaim, the section of the Tur, or later Shulchan Aruch, which speaks about our daily living as a Jew should, chapter 188, the Tur says, Ein lomar malchutcha umalchut beit David. Don't ask for God's kingdom. Don't ask for the presence of Hashem and the presence or kingdom, sovereignty of King David. Ela malchus beis David avdecha mishichecha. Ask for the return, the restoration of the sovereignty of David HaMelech, your anointed one. In other words, we have to ask for Mashiach. The Bet Yosef in his commentary first quotes Rambam Maimonides, saying that the reason for this is, Ein nechama gemura ela b'chazaras malchus beis David. We will never be fully comforted until the sovereignty of David HaMelech, the Davidic dynasty, is restored. That's Mashiach. But then, quite fascinatingly, the Beit Yosef says, take a look in one of the early Rishonim. This is one of the first compilations of Halacha. It's called Shiboli Haleket. And in the order of blessings, in section 157, the Shiboli Haleket speaks about the verbiage we employ in the third blessing of Berchat HaMazon, grace after meals, Rachim. He says, and I quote, Va'omar Mar, the master taught, Kol she'enu mazkir malchus beis David bebonei Yerushalayim lo yatsa yedecha vato. If a person speaks about Jerusalem, but doesn't speak about the sovereignty, the house of David HaMelech, he hasn't fulfilled. He hasn't satisfied his obligation. Why? V'hatam, and the reason? The Shibola Haleket cites a teaching from his brother, Binyamin. Lefi shetzricha manu lahazkir, malchus shamayim, umalchus beis David, ubeit hamikdash. Because when we yearn for the presence of Hashem, we must also yearn for the restoration of the house of David HaMelech and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And this is why our sages taught, and he cites a Medrash Shmuel, that Beyoyim Shenechlaka Malchus Beis David, on the day that the people of Israel broke away from the house of David HaMelech, this was during the days of David HaMelech's grandson, Rehoboam. This is delineated in the book of Kings, Malachim Aleph, in the 12th chapter. When they seceded from Malchus Yehuda, when they went away from David HaMelech's monarchy, Kofru b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'b'Beit HaMikdash, u'b'Malchus Beis David. It amounted to heresy, a denial of God, a denial of Beit HaMikdash, God's presence amongst us, and a denial of the monarchy of David HaMelech, which is ordained by God. The Shiboli Haleket says, citing his brother Rabbeinu David, he says, when you look at the words that the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, said to Rehoboam, in verse 16 they said, Ma lanu chelek b'David. They said, there is no inheritance for us in David. V'lo nachala, no share of David for us, no inheritance for us in Ben Yishai. Says the Shiboli Haleket, Zo malchut beit David. This is a denial of David HaMelech's sovereignty. The house of King David, my friends, that is the essence of Mashiach. The next thing they said was, Ish l'ohalecha Yisrael. This was a slogan that had previously been used by those who rebelled against David HaMelech, those who opposed King David. They said, now Israel, off to your tents. The Medrash says, Al tikri l'ohalecha. Don't read it as your tents, but rather understand there's a pun intended. La'elohecha, go Israel, to the God of your own creation. Heresy, denial of God's sovereignty itself. They concluded and said, Ata re'ei beischa David. They said, now, see to your own house, David. On a literal level, this means rule over your own family, your own tribe. If you don't take our requests into account, then we'll go our own way, and we are no longer bound by your sovereignty or regime. But the Shiboli HaLeket says, what they were really, on a deeper level, disdaining was the house of God, Beis HaMikdash. And here the Shiboli HaLeket quotes the words of the Medrash. V'omar Mar, and the master taught, Ein Yisrael Nigolin, the Jewish people will not be redeemed. Ad sheyachzeru v'yitbu'u shloshtan, until we return and demand all three. My dear friends, if a person yearns to have Hashem's presence in his life, if he seeks out a closeness with God, he demands it, he pleads it, he looks for it. But he doesn't ask for the coming of Mashiach. He doesn't pray for the restoration of the Beit HaMikdash. He hasn't fulfilled his Jewish obligation. Asking for the coming of Mashiach is not a modern, newfangled idea. It cuts to the very essence of Yiddishkeit itself. It's something that characterizes our aspirations as a Jewish people and as individual children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shiboli HaLeket goes on to quote a verse from the prophecies of Hosea. In the third chapter, the fifth verse, he says, Va'achar yeshuvu b'nei Yisrael, and then the Jewish people will return u'bikshu es Hashem elekehem, and they will seek out the Lord their God. Which Torah observant Jew doesn't seek out the presence of Hashem, performing mitzvahs, studying Torah, engaging in passionate prayer, seeking closeness to Hashem? That's Malchut Shemayim. The verse continues, Ve'ez David Malkam. And David, David their king, Zo Malchus Beis David. That is a reference to the sovereignty of David HaMelech. In simple terminology, the coming of Mashiach. Ve'noru el Hashem ve'el tuvo. And they will stream to God and His goodness, Zeo Beis HaMikdash. As Moshe Rabbeinu himself intones, Hahor Hatov Hazeh, this good mountain, V'halavanon, that refers to the Beis HaMikdash. That'll be rebuilt, as we've learned, by Mashiach. The Gam B'Tfilo Maskiron Shloshton, and indeed, says the Shiboli HaLeket, in our prayers we mention all three. We say, Mishanu Miftach LaTzadikim, that is Malchut Shemayim. We ask and plead with Hashem. Feel His presence, to be close to Him, to live with a sense of loyalty and devotion. B'nei Yerushalayim, the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is not pavement or buildings. That refers to the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, Matzmiach Keren Yeshua, that's Malchus Beis David. That's the coming of Mashiach. We are mandated not only to actively anticipate, certainly not to just believe, but to ask, to beg, to plead for the coming of Mashiach. If a person only prays or davens with sincerity, he's doing that multiple times a day. A friend of mine once made a calculation of how many times we ask God to send us Mashiach in the course of our daily prayers and grace after meals. It's over 80 times a day. Praying isn't about turning pages or mindlessly reading words. It's about emoting and expressing ourselves to Hashem. So you tell me, is asking for Mashiach inherent, an intrinsic part of our Judaism? I'll conclude with words from the Rebbe in an edited Sicha, Lakut HaSichas, the 30th volume on page 183. It's the end of a Sicha, a talk on Parshas Vayeshev. The Rebbe says, and I quote, V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu misave l'tfilosam shel Yisrael. God yearns to hear our prayers. And here with emphasis, sheyivakshu ha-geula, that we should ask for, beg for, the redemption, the coming of Mashiach. V'ze mevi u'mezarez od yoseres ha-geula. It's clear that that pleading, that begging, that praying, that asking accelerates the process of universal redemption and brings the coming of Mashiach closer. May it be b'mheira u'b'yameinu, speedily, and in our days, amen. Thank you so much for joining.